Today, I was going to bring a message on Thanksgiving because this is the last Sunday before Thanksgiving. And I've been praying about it, and then this other message kind of got on my heart, and I was trying to figure out, Lord, which one and which one. And then I chose this message. I felt maybe that's what the Lord would have me to speak on. And I was right, and I know it. And I have proof of it this morning I can tell you about. God tries to prepare us for tests and grow us through it. You know, the Lord's trying to build everybody in this room. If you're his child, if you've taken time to trust him as Savior. Now, if you're here this morning and you've never taken the time to pray like the thief on the cross did on his last chance, when he turned to Jesus Christ and asked basically for salvation, and Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Today you're going to heaven with me. He was dying that day. Most people don't get a chance to have a deathbed experience. Death comes unprepared. And so today I'd encourage you to prepare by taking a little time. The Bible says in Job, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Today, if you hear his voice, Hebrews 3:15, harden not your heart. The Lord, Isaiah 1, come unto me. He says, and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be white as snow. The Lord wants to save people, all of us. So if you've never taken the time to pray that one prayer, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve to go to heaven. But I know you died for me, and I want you to take your payment on the cross and apply it to my debt of sin. Then you don't have a Savior this morning. And you're not going to heaven. And it doesn't matter what church you go to. And it doesn't matter how good you are. It only matters, have you trusted Jesus Christ? Jesus himself said it in John 4, you must be born again. You're born into God's family the day you ask him to forgive you. It is the joy of my heart to travel all over the world, and I've never met a person I couldn't look at and say, Jesus loves you, and he'll save you today if you'll ask him. I've never met that person because it doesn't cost anything. The debt's paid. It's just, will you humble yourself? Take a moment of time and block out the world and say, Lord, it's me. Will you forgive me? Now, if you've prayed and asked the Lord to save you, and you're on your way to heaven this morning. Now, if you're not, in a few moments, we're going to give you a chance to come and trust Christ as Savior. And I would urge you not to leave this building without the assurance of heaven in your heart. It's too risky. Hell awaits. And the old devil wants you in hell. But Jesus wants you in heaven with him. That's the reason he came to pay your debt of sin. So let's say you've trusted Christ as Savior. I want you to notice three things about this passage. Chapter 8. Now, chapter 6 and 7, he's preaching the Sermon on the Mount. Now, that's the greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest orator that's ever preached, and that's Jesus Christ. He had thousands sitting on the mountainside as he preached the Sermon on the Mount, and people sat there spellbound, and he taught them the things of God. And then right after that, the disciples and Jesus Christ are coming down off the mountain. In chapter 8, look if you would, verse 1. And when he was come down from the mount, great multitudes followed him. So he's just preached the greatest sermon in the history of the world, and no one will ever touch that sermon. And so now the people are prepared with all the teachings of God, including his disciples. And so now he's going to teach his disciples. I'm going to prepare them for a test to come. And everybody in this room, you're either in the test or God's preparing you for it. If you're his child, you want to know why? He's trying to grow you into his image. He's trying to get you to be an example in hard times for your children, your relatives, people around you, strangers, that they can see Jesus in you. And he can't do that without tests and trials. So you'll notice the first thing that he does, and he prepares them, and he prepares you and I. A good teacher never gives a test, even a pop test, without having prepared their students. Now, how many of you have ever had a pop quiz? Let me see your hand. Okay. How many of you did not like the teacher when she gave you a pop quiz? Okay. Well, but you, unknowing to you, she had tried to give you the facts and everything about it before the pop quiz. Question is, were you listening? Now, the Lord gives pop quizzes. I got one yesterday. I'll explain it to you in a minute. The Lord's preparing our hearts. So he just preaches the Sermon on the Mount. All the people come down with him on the mountain. There's thousands there. And then he sort of steps aside. And notice, if you would, in verse number 2 of chapter 8, behold, there came a leper and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. So he's been preaching to thousands, and now it comes down to one man. And his disciples are all there watching. And they see this leper come up to him and say, Lord, if you really wanted to, you could heal me of my leprosy. Now, what's not said here is, Lord, you know the separation in my life. I can't be with my family, if he had a family. I can't be around my brothers or sisters. I can't be around my wife or children. I've got leprosy. Every time somebody sees me, I got to go, leper, leper, so that I don't get near them. Lord, it's a miserable life. Lord, I can't have a regular job. I'm reduced to begging. Lord, I know you can do this. Would you heal me? And notice what happens. Verse 3, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. Now, that's not something you ever do with a leper. When I go visit hospitals, I visit hospitals all the time. I was at the hospital three or four times this week. Each time I go to the hospital, I come out of the room, and on the side of the room, are there any nurses in this morning? How many nurses? We got a nurse in here this morning? Got a nurse? Anybody nurse? I know there's a nurse here, right over here, okay? What's outside the room, Rachel? When you go outside the room, there's a little thing that's there. What is that for? Yep, you go out and you put your hand under it, and it gives you an antibacterial thing, and it cleanses all the stuff off your hands. I always tried to do that because I never wanted to take something home to Susan. And so I'd go in there and I'd wash my hands of it. I was walking by this week and I saw a negative pressure room. I don't know if you know what that is. That's a room where the air only goes in, it doesn't come out. So they got something that A, don't know what it is, or B, know what it is and don't want anybody else to get it. So it's a negative pressure room. And so they're marked, negative pressure room, don't go in. And so when I go into those rooms, man, I got a gown and a mask, and I go in like this, you know, hey, how are you doing? I try to protect myself, but that's what they want you to do. But Jesus walks up and touches the leper. So his disciples could say, what is he doing? He's not afraid of getting leprosy. And then he touches him and the leprosy's gone. And they went, oh my. What kind of a man is this? The leper's healed. He can do anything. And then notice, if you would, in verse number 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, so he's traveling now, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. He's got a demon or something in him, Lord. He's crazy. He can't control himself. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. I can imagine John looking at Peter saying, he's going to do it again. Let's go. And they followed Jesus into the house. In verse 8, and the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof. Lord, I'm not good enough for you to come into my house. You're the creator of all the universe. You can do anything. Would you just speak the word and my servant will be healed? Now, notice verse 9, I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, you know what he was saying? He's saying, Lord, you don't have to come to my house. All you got to do is just say the word. Now, the last one, the leper, he had to touch. This one, man, it's just all palsied and can't control himself. And so the centurion says, look, I've got people under me. I tell them what to do, and you've got power and angels under you, all you got to do is just tell them what to do. and they'll do it. Just say the word. And Jesus looked at him and said, wow, I have not seen such faith. So, notice the words. Verse 10, I have not found so great a faith. No, not in Israel. And if you notice, if you would, verse 13, and Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Can you imagine Peter punching John? Did you see that? He didn't have to go into the house. He just said the word. Wow. We're serving the greatest teacher to ever live. This must be God. Lesson number two, after the Sermon on the Mount. And then notice lesson number three, in verse 14. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid sick of a fever. So she must have been pretty sick, pretty high fever. Now, how many of you have had your children have had a fever of, say, 103? Let me see your hand. Okay. How many have had one 104? See your hand. You get a little worried when it gets to 104. Anybody here with 105? Miss your hand? Anybody? 105? A couple of them, three or four of them. And you get really worried because that's so dangerous. And so his mother, notice if you would, in verse number 14, his wife's mother, so his mother-in-law is very ill. In verse 15, and he walked over and touched her hand, the fever left her. You know, I've prayed with a lot of people, thousands of people in the hospital. Sometimes I go over and hold their hand and have a word of prayer. Men or women, just to try to comfort them. Not one time I've ever been able to heal them. And I never will be with a touch of the hand. Maybe the power of prayer, but not with a touch of the hand. But Jesus touches her. The fever's gone. She said, wow, I just feel so much better. And then walk over and put her hand on her fevered brow. It's cool. How did that happen? Wow. Now Peter says to both James and John, wow! He heals even our families. He can do it by touch or by word. Then you'll notice verse 16. And when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. So the word got around town in Capernaum. Hey, if you got somebody sick, bring them to Jesus. He's healing everybody, and it's free. And so everybody started bringing the sick, and they started bringing people that were demon-possessed. In Uganda, they have people that are demon-possessed. And Jeremy and Mandy have seen that multiple times. I remember Jeremy led one of them to Christ, and the father came up and thanked me for sending my son to help see his son saved. And the whole life was changed. The whole village got saved. And their whole life was different. And I was like, wow, because one man got healed and was saved. When I say healed, he trusted Christ as Savior. And when he did, of course, the demons had to leave because the power of Christ is more powerful than demons. And he stopped cutting off the heads of animals and terrifying everybody. And the whole village was transformed. And they began to get saved. And what a great blessing. And I remember going in that village and the pastor of the church there, the church walked me over and showed me the little hut. I've told you about it, called the Jesus Hut. Everybody went there to get saved. It was thrilling to my heart. And so now everybody's bringing them, not just one village, all over the place. And they're coming and demons are being cast out. And then there are people that are sick and they're bringing them in beds. And I remember being in Uganda one time. We were treating people and there were 3,000 people came just to be treated. They had to bring in the military to stop the people from coming because they heard Christians from America were there. Medical people were there, doctors and nurses. And they would bring them in beds that were near death. And it was just one of the saddest things in the world because we could not go out there and raise them or heal them. All I could do is pray for them and give them some medicine. Some of them were too far gone. I'll never forget the powerless feeling. I wished I could do more. everyone that was brought that day got up and walked away. And everybody said, wow. Notice the wording. I have it underlined in my Bible. And squared and outlined. Notice, if you would, verse number 16. And healed all that were sick. And you'll notice, if you would, now. So he's given them this example. The Sermon on the Mount. The leper's healed. He touched him. Shouldn't have. And then you'll notice the word he spoke to the centurion's servant. And just spoke the word. And then he touched Peter's mother-in-law. And now he's healed everybody that's come to him. And so now they're prepared and ready. So he goes down and gets into a ship. Verse number 23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. They didn't know it, but it was test day. And maybe you don't know it today. But he's prepared you. And now he permits the test to come. Now, the teachers many times today would say, okay, on Friday, you're going to have a test in mathematics. You're going to have a test in English. You're going to have a test in history. So we have a chance to study and be ready. Now, you may not study, but that's your fault. But God doesn't normally tell us when he sends a test, but he always prepares us. Always. The question is, have we learned? So he says, okay, let's all get in the boat. In verse number 24, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea. Now, this is a small sea there, and waves, it wouldn't take much rain or much wind, and the waves began to rise, and those boats were low sides, and so they were just small fisher boats, and the water would come in. Well, the boat's full. Now, notice, if you would, in verse number 24, it was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Now, I don't know how Jesus could sleep in a storm, except that Jesus was never worried. Don't you wish we could be like him? We just see trouble and know it's taken care of. Now, that's the lesson. I can touch you. I can just say the word. But I'm going to take care of everyone, including you. So today, if you're facing a trial, he can touch you. He can answer your prayer all the way from heaven. But he'll turn no one away. You're not alone. So notice what happens. You'll see the test comes. They were permitted. This storm was permitted by God. Verse 24. Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. It's going to sink. But he was asleep. He was not worried. In verse 25, and his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Now, they did the right thing, but they did the right thing in a wrong way. They didn't have the faith to believe he was going to do it. Look back over in chapter, if you would, look back over in chapter number 8, verse 13, verse number 10. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled. And said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And Peter, James, and John are standing there. The disciples are standing there. He said, I have not found so great a faith in all of Israel. Do y'all have faith? Is the question that goes unasked. They're listening and they're seeing it, but they didn't learn the lesson. So they couldn't do anything else but go to Jesus and say, Lord, help us. We're going to die. But it was without faith. It was without the confidence that he loved them, that he cared for them, that he would take care of them. So notice with me, if you would, in verse number 26, he said unto them, before he did anything, storm still raging, wind still blowing, ship still sinking. Why are you fearful? Oh, you have little faith. And folks, that's a lesson for all of us to learn today. You're facing a financial crisis. God's not broke. Money's nothing to him. It's a tool to bless us. Health is a gift from God. If it's a health crisis, he's not worried. Where's our faith? Lord, could I just talk to you? Would you help me? I trust you. I know you can. He's interested in our faith. And as we do that, when we have faith in the beginning, we can go to our children and grandchildren and say, I went to him and I knew he could do it and I trusted him and he did it and he'll do it for you. Faith is transferred to the next generation. We're not doing that. So our children don't see our great God and his mighty power. So notice, if you would, in verse number 26, O ye of little faith, then he arose. You know what he's doing? He's still laying down. He said, oh, you of little faith, guys, come on. Wind's blowing. Peace. Still. And all of a sudden, everything goes quiet. They looked at each other. Notice what they said. Verse 26, last phrase. And there was a great calm. In the midst of a storm and an instant calm, they knew what had happened. In verse 27, and the men marveled. Why did they marvel? They had just seen him heal the leper. They had just heard him preach the greatest sermon in all the world on faith. They had just heard him say, are you better to your children when they ask you something? You think when they ask for a fish, I'm going to give them a stone? He said he's trying to increase their faith. And folks, today the Lord's trying to increase all of our faith. And so understand this. There's nobody exempt from a test today. Because God loves you. Now, if you're going to school, you're going to get tested every week. You know why? That's the way we grow. Tests are not fun, but God is trying to grow us. But he always sits there with us and say, let's take this test together. You can do it. I'm right here. The question is, will we say, I'll trust you. I know you can help me. Where's our faith? They had just seen the leper healed. They had just seen the centurion's servant healed. They had just seen Peter's mother-in-law healed. And they had just seen every person brought from the surrounding communities all healed. They get into one storm and say, Lord, we're going to die. Help us. And no faith's involved. God permitted the storm to cause them to see, you need to trust me. Now, verse 27, and the men marveled. Do we still marvel when God answers our prayers? Do we still do that? You know, God prepares us for a test. He permits it to come because he wants us to profit from each test. Yesterday I had probably the most stressful day I've had since Susan went to heaven. Now, that was the most stress I've ever been under. You know, she was in the hospital 77 days, and we saw 44 different doctors, and she laid there in bed and looked and just trusted me to take care of her. That was the most stress I've ever had in my life. Trying to trust the Lord and do what I'm supposed to do. Well, yesterday, we all went to Sight and Sound, about 100 of us. Great time. We get there, pull up. We took one busload. A bunch of people took their cars. And we took a van. A van didn't have but 5 or 6 in it. And there were about 40 on the bus. And we get there. And we just got the bus out of the shop, had it all checked over. And you know, we try to do the best we can. We pull up there. And there's a state trooper there. And he looks up to Chase and says, can I see your driver's license? And I'm thinking, this is unusual. And then he looks at us and says, hey, you need to go down the street because we want you to go get an inspection on your bus. We got a bus inspection right there. It says we passed. Yeah, but we want you to do it again. What? And so 8 or 10 buses have to get out of the line and go down the road And we've got about 50 minutes before the show starts, and I paid for my ticket, and you know, and the driver. We're the only drivers there that have not, they're not professional drivers. All the other guys, if they missed the show, it meant nothing to them. So we get down there, we're third in line. We're getting an extra test, a pop quiz. And so we're standing there, and so in my mind, I'm thinking, Pittman, do the right thing. Have the right spirit. But guys, this is a Saturday. Why are y'all doing this? I've never seen somebody go to an event and say, every one of you get your buses going down. We're going to go down here. And it was an old deserted gas station. I thought maybe they're trying to steal our bus. I didn't know. And we get down there pretty soon they come out. He says, okay, left blinker, right blinker, gets underneath the bus, puts us up on ramps. I mean, he's going through the whole thing, and we pass the exam, and you know, the bus is okay, everything's good, and your driver's license, well, you don't have a medical card. Well, churches are exempt. Goes back, says, oh, you're right, churches are exempt. Okay, you don't have to have that. He said, let me go back and type it all up and give it back to you, so everything's good. And then he comes back, and he walks up to us slowly, and he says, got bad news. Says your DOT is expired or your DOT is inactive. What does that mean? He says, well, it means you're not moving that bus. I said, but officer, that's just a piece of paper that probably was. Yeah, you're right. You just call them and or get in touch with them and fill out the paperwork and turn it in. You're supposed to do that every 2 years. Well, we must have missed that. So we broke the law. And I said, but officer, in the spirit of the law, is the spirit of the law what you're trying to tell me is that 40 people are going to be stranded here with no place to go? I said, tell you what, don't worry about it. I got another bus at the church. I'll just have them send them. He said, is that the same church that owns this bus? I said, oh, yeah, it is. He said, you ain't moving that bus either. I said, okay, it's Saturday at 12:05. Okay, they're going to be out of that deal in an hour and 20 minutes with no place to go and no way to get there. What am I going to do? And so, you know what? I was just like these guys in the storm. I was saying, the boat's filling up. What am I going to do? And I all worried about it on me. I said, well, you got any buses, bus companies? And he said, yeah, call this guy. I called Bailey, didn't answer. Call executive. No answer. You know why? Because it's Saturday, and they don't work on Saturday. And if they do, they've already got it planned. I got in touch with one guy, and he says, oh, yeah. I said, I got a bus here, but I can't get a driver. Oh, so I called everybody from Harrisburg, all the people in Lancaster, calling down here in D.C. area, this. And everybody says, you know, well, yeah, I'm sorry, but I can't help you. And I got, oh my goodness, I got 47 minutes. Now, I'm in between wanting to strangle a police officer and trying to do the right thing. And I'm worried about this. And I'm, Lord, what am I going to do? And then there's a police officer of 27 years, a state trooper in there as the head of security. He says, you know, he said, there's a way around that. I've seen it in the past. Let me call my friend. And he gets his friend on vacation in Florida. And the guy said, well, you're right, but it's gone a little too far. Too far? It's not too far for me. And he said, well, we can't help you. Lord, I've called everybody. I'm ashamed to say it. Lord, I've done everything I can do. You got to do it. My phone rings. It's a guy I called that didn't answer. And he said, is this Pastor Pittman? I said, yes, it is. And he said, well, he said, I'm a school bus company. I don't have a travel bus. I don't care if you've got an Amish wagon. I'll take it. He said, well, wait a minute. He said, I got to find a driver. I said, man, I'll drive. He said, you can't drive my bus. You know, I'll see what I can do. And I said, look, I'm desperate. I said, I got to have an answer in 43 minutes. You got to get me back to me. He said, okay. And so nonchalant, he said, I'm at a party with my family's, and I'll try to find out. I said, how much is it going to be? He says, I don't know. Can you guess? No. I got to go back to my office. So I think I'm being set up, you know? My sweet spirited mind says he's going to really stick it to us, you know. I'm thinking about this. It's a nice guy, but I mean, he's got me over a barrel. What am I going to do? And so all of a sudden he calls back in about, I think it's 5 minutes. And he says, well, I got you a bus. I got you a driver. And I said, yes. I was so excited. And he said, now, you know, it's just a regular school bus. Oh, I don't care. I don't care. I said, when is he going to be here? He said, at 1:15. They get out at 1:20. I said, thank you, Lord. A miracle. I didn't pass the test at first, Lord. I'm really sorry. I didn't trust you. Lord, I should have known that you were going to take care of this. Everybody's getting out. The first couple, Windsor and Euline, come out, and they're walking toward the spot where the bus was. I said, hey, guys, something's happened. Oh, you have to wait. Lord, where's that bus? And I see this yellow bus come around the corner. I said, yes, there it is. And he pulls right up beside the other bus. We take our stuff out. Didn't miss a lick. I said, well, look, we want to go down to Shady Maple to get lunch. I'll buy your lunch. He said, okay, no problem. Like, no argument. Nicest guy in the world. He said, you know, I've never taken one of these trips either. I said, well, you know, I've never been inspected when I went to a venue either. And he said, well, he said, you know, I'll be glad to take you. Now, can you take us to Shady Maple, eat with us, and take us all the way back to Herndon? He said, oh, sure. I said, that's just like you, Lord. And so we get in, eat, go all the way back to Herndon. No issues. Perfect. No, my bus is still up there, but I don't care about that right now. Still haven't figured out the DOT number yet. But you know what? I didn't have to leave one person in a tent in Lancaster. I mean, how was I going to get them to a hotel? What was I going to do? My boat was full. The Lord says, I got this, Dave. Will you just trust me? I wished I could have said, Lord, would you help me, knowing that he would, instead of hoping that he would. Do you see the difference? The Lord wants you to learn to trust him. Folks, I can't tell you the number of times he's prepared me for that test. Now, if you're here today, or if you're listening on live stream, and you've never trusted Christ, today's the day. Trust him. He loves you. If you're here today and you are facing a test this week, could I encourage you? Ask in faith. Pass the test. Today, you can do it two ways. You can pray in fear, or you can pray in faith. But he has your back. Will you trust him? So I get here and I'm waiting for the bill. We're on our way down. I'm waiting for the bill. And my phone, beep, beep. I look over at it. I said, dear Pastor Pittman, this is Mike. He owns a bus company. Somehow God gave me his personal phone. How does that happen? The Lord's got your back. He said, just want you to know that I checked on how much it should be to go to Dulles, X number of dollars. Wow. He said, if you just give the bus driver $500 cash, Merry Christmas. I said, Lord, you're just too good. He has your back. Will you trust him? You know what? I didn't have the $500. I have $4 in my wallet. Lord, I know you got $500 someplace. I know. I'm sure of it. I passed that test. So then I said, maybe it's in the petty cash. The school, nope. Melina, nope, it's not there. I called Michelle. Michelle didn't answer the phone. She was busy. And I said, oh, Lord, I know you got $500 someplace. I tell you what, I'll go down to my bank and get it out of my bank because I think I can get $500. And one of the ladies says, well, my husband's got $500 at home. Who does that? $100 bills in a bank envelope. Brings it up to me, gives it to me. I walk over, give it to the guy, and I said, thank you. Do you understand the Lord's got our backs? Now, I didn't pass the first test, but the $500 I did. I said, Lord, I know you got it someplace. I'm looking on the ground. I know it's someplace. Today, do you trust him? He will not fail you. The most stress I've been under since Susan died, and I shouldn't have been under any stress because it's the same God. Pass your test today. Let's bow our heads for a prayer. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn, page 328, Only Trust Him. Today, are you carrying a weight? You don't, maybe you didn't pass the first test, pass the next one. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand to sing. Oh, how much does he love you today, folks? Would you trust him? If you've never been saved, internet, you're on live streaming, trust him today. He loves you. He'll forgive you of all your sins. Maybe you're carrying a weight and you're one of God's children. Could I encourage you to trust him? Lord Jesus, speak to hearts today. Lord, you're the same great God that healed the leper. Would you speak to our hearts today? In your name we pray. Amen.